Ask you to repeat along with me or after me as we say the lay aside prayer. God, please lay aside everything I think I know about this disease, about these steps, about this program, about this book, about myself, and especially about you, God, so I may have an open mind and a new experience with this disease, with these steps, with this program, with this book, with myself, and especially with you, God. Amen. Hope everybody's doing good this morning. As I look and I see participants, we're at 20. I don't know what our norm is, but I know we started with about 40, I believe. And the majority of people do not want to do this, me included. At times, it's gotten a lot better. At 33 years, there's still times when I let up, and live in what I think I know. Thank God for my sponsors, a couple other people that I'm thoroughly and completely accountable to and transparent with. So I'm gonna admonish you. There's a sentence at the end of the third paragraph on page 76. And when you get time, I want you to read it. Just read it, highlight it, underline it. Think about it, what it's saying. We are in the beginning. We are in the second half of the first half of the first step. We're looking at the mental obsession in the mind. And the book is very precise and direct with what my problem is. That's the uniqueness of this process and this book. I can sit with people all over the world, which I do, and we can come to common ground as to the disease of untreated alcoholism and untreated drug addiction. I don't know how serious that is in your life. Very serious in mine. That's why I'm still here 33 years later. That's why I still do what I do the way I did after. Well, I stayed in treatment about 14 months, got kicked out, went back to aftercare, graduated. And once I got to you guys and you guys, the rooms of Cocaine Anonymous, and I stayed. I never relapsed. Relapse is not an option. Relapse is a conscious decision. So hopefully I'll meet some of you as we trudge this road of happy destiny, meaning somewhere down the line, years from now, I'll walk into a meeting of Cocaine Anonymous somewhere in the world. And one of you will walk up to me and say, "Hey, Mike D, remember me? Remember when you took me through that workshop? I'm still here. I'm still doing it." That's what I live for. That just touched me very deeply, because I'm moving through something in my life. Don't think my life is perfect because I do this and I've been around for so long. That's why I stay, because my life is imperfect still in certain areas. Am I talking about perfection in the sense of the word perfection? No. No. I'm talking about when I realize I'm going left as opposed to going right, or doing the next right thing. I don't hesitate in making right about face. So So we're in the part of the process that talks about what this disease centers in. It centers in my mind. Somebody out there, you just like me, you're an umpteenther, meaning you try to stop and stay stopped, I don't know how many times, umpteen times. That's my grandmother's word. Pretty sure somebody out there, your ancestors used the same word. Umpteen times, she used to tell me. You've been doing that umpteen times. And I could stop, but I could never stay stopped. I found the magic in staying stopped, y'all. I found the blessing in staying stopped. My root cause of my condition centers through the unmanageability is in my mind, and it talks about an obsession. We just talked about on page 31 where I believe we're at. We've talked about all the ways I tried to manage and control my drinking and using, but in actuality, I was trying to manage and control my life. I thought substances, mind-altering substances, were the solution. And to be quite honest, for a while they were, but they never sustained me. We're at the bottom of page 31. And in your work, in your textbook, I believe it's the very same page. I kind of like your big book better because still got the triangle, circle and triangle. And yep, it is the same in your text, in your big book, page 31. We're at the last paragraph. We do not like to pronounce any individual as alcoholic or addict, but you can quickly diagnose yourself. There it is. We don't diagnose anybody. Anybody that I've taken through the work, I move them through the first step, through the information as outlined in this big book, which is the first four chapters dedicated to step one, for them to draw a conclusion in and of themselves. Am I addict? Am I alcoholic? Or am I addict alcoholic? So here we go. Tell you again, majority of people are either alcoholic or addict. They are not both. I need to find my tribe. If you're like me, when I was in concrete and pavement, I didn't hang out with alcoholics. I didn't hang out with crackheads. I hung out with heroin addicts. That was my crew. Same thing needs to happen in the rooms of Cocaine Anonymous. Somebody's gonna beg to differ with you. Fuck them. Fuck them. Find your people. Find those that are just like you. There's a club in the club, meaning they suffer from a disease in the body, the mind, and the spirit. Everybody that comes to a Cocaine Anonymous meeting does not need to do that or does not have that disease. The book spells it out. Moderate user, hard user, real addict. And there's some prerequisites in being a real addict. There's some things that you're going to have to do for the rest of your life. No, you won't get a vacation. No, you won't be able to breathe. There'll come a time when you catch yourself breathing, as I just did, and you'll know, uh-oh, something's wrong here. And you're right about face and turn back. Because I have a human piece to me that don't give a damn about 33 years. Don't care about how many people I've helped. Don't care about how much speaking I've done and where I've done it at. He's got an agenda and he ain't gonna stop. That's for somebody this morning. That's for somebody in this workshop this morning. You think you're unique. You're not unique. So this is about self-diagnosis. Like I told you in the beginning of this workshop, you will diagnose yourself. Hopefully by now, because we're coming up on the end of the first half of the first step, which deals with that diagnosis as to alcoholic or addict or alcoholic addict. Hopefully you've gotten a better understanding as to what's wrong with you and who you are. Which one of those three classes do you fit in? Moderate, hard, real. Not complicated. I think I did an exercise with somebody last week. If I put you at the door of a room, and on one table there was all the alcohol in the world, and on the other table was the drug that you also use more frequently than any other, which one would you pick? When I was presented with that scenario, because in my first piece of work coming out of step one, I thought I was alcoholic addict. And when Joe presented me with that exercise, I saw that, no, I'm running to the table with heroin. Give me all of it. No, I don't want to drink. No. Put me on a desert island by myself and give me all the heroin in the world and I am thoroughly content. Don't need a girl, don't need alcohol, don't need no reefer, don't need no cocaine, just give me all the heroin in the world. That's how simple it is. So if your mind, where we are, is trying to trip you up, think about that. What is it that you love the effect produced by? You might like the effect produced by something else, but what is it that you love the effect produced by? Somebody out there, you just like me, you love the nod. You love the good bag of dope. Somebody else out there, you love to tweak. You love to go as high as you could go. Keep the bells ringing. Somebody else out there, you drank until you passed out. We're moving. Highlight that. Self-diagnose yourself. Quickly diagnose yourself. In the margin next to that, write through this process. Will I diagnose myself next to alcoholic, right at it? So next they give us a test. They said, if you're not thoroughly convinced, or you're not convinced, step over to the nearest barroom or crack house or shooting gallery and try some controlled drinking or control using. Highlight that and next to that or under that, write, consider this. Would you consider doing this? By the time I got to this sentence in the big book, I was not willing to do this. I was not willing to go to a shooting gallery or go to a rooftop. I really didn't hang out in shooting galleries. I shot dope by myself, but I was not willing to try this. By the time I got here to page 31 in the process, moving through it for the first time with Brother Alton, I was not willing. But it says for somebody that's not in a mindset and have not diagnosed themselves, and they still have questions as to whether they can use or they can drink, go to the bar, go to the crack house, go to the shooting gallery, try some controlled drinking or using. Try to drink or try to use and stop abruptly. Highlight that. And they said, if you're still not thoroughly convinced, try it more than once. It will not take long for you to decide if you are honest with yourself about it. It may be worth a case of jitters if you get a full knowledge of your condition. Underline that. Full knowledge of your condition. And next to that, write alcoholic or addict. Couple questions to go along with that in your margins. Here we go, top of the page. Would it take long for me to decide? Would it take long for me to decide? Next question, am I willing to be honest? If you know you're an addict and you're hanging out in AA, what you doing hanging out in AA? AA is for alcoholics. Start a CA meeting. Find your people. Get a tribe. So am I willing to be honest? And last question, am I willing to get a full knowledge of my condition? Meaning, if you don't know, are you willing to take that test? Though there is no way of proving it, we believe that early in our drinking or using careers, most of us could have stopped drinking or using. But the difficulty is that few alcoholics or few addicts have enough desire to stop while there is yet time. Why is that, Mike? Because the shit feels good. It changes me. It helps me to live in a chaotic, crazy world. I get to escape. Didn't know that then. So what does that mean, Mike? It means I love the effect produced by. What is it that you love the effect produced by? I used to shoot straight cocaine. I'm old school, straight cocaine. But I could only shoot a certain amount because when them bells really started ringing, I had to get away. I said, oh, can't stay here. So I had to get a shot of dope. It says, we have heard of many instances where people who showed definite signs of alcoholism were able to stop for a long period because of an overwhelming desire to do so. Here is one. Highlight that whole paragraph. We're not going to read all of this. I'm going to give you some pertinent information in this. When you get a chance, start at the beginning of this about a man of 30. Highlight, underline, a man of 30. Highlight, underline, doing a great deal of spree drinking. On top of drinking, right using. He was very nervous in the morning after these bouts and quieted himself with more liquor. Moved down a couple lines. Then he stayed bone dry for 25 years. Talks about him being successful. Moved down about 10 lines, it says, then he fell victim to a belief which practically every alcoholic or every addict has. Highlight that. Underline a belief every alcoholic or every addict has. Highlight, underline that his long period of sobriety and self-discipline had qualified him to drink as other men or to use as other men. How many times did I do that? Move down to the last couple of sentences of that paragraph on that page. Then gathering all his forces, he attempted to stop altogether and found he could not. So after 25 years, he took one and could not stay stopped. In the margin next to that, write, a desire, a will means nothing. Until you get some power. 10th step talks about the problem has been removed. We're going to talk about what the crux of the problem is. Every means of solving his problem, which money could buy, was at his disposal. Every attempt failed. Highlight, underline. Though a robust man at retirement, he went to pieces quickly and was dead within 4 years. Highlight and underline that boldly. My brother was a heroin addict, did penitentiary bids, would come home, start using. Then one time he came home and he would use sporadically. Did what he always did one Friday afternoon, left work early, left Brooklyn, went up to Harlem, him and Nelson, got some dope. Got high, it was his last high. No clue. This case contains a powerful lesson. Highlight that, underline it boldly. put a star in front of that sentence and a star in back. Powerful lesson in this man's experience. Highlight the entire next paragraph. I mean, that paragraph with this case contains a powerful lesson. Highlight that whole paragraph. Powerful lesson. Most of us have believed, I have believed, that if I remain sober or I remain stopped for a long stretch, I could therefore drink or I could therefore use normally. Told you by now, you should be coming to some type of conclusion as to what you are. But here is a man who at 55 years found he was just where he left off at 30. Underline that. A man who at 55 years found out he was just where he left off at 30. Underline that in the margin next to that, write, last day of using is today. So meaning, if I picked up today, I would pick up where I left off 33 years ago. I am thoroughly convinced of that. Thoroughly convinced. Why? Because in the process of this first step, in these four chapters, I can actually go back and use and drink and have the experience without using and drinking physically and see my experience. I'm this guy. I do pit bids in the joint and get out, be separated from Heron for a length of time and get out and buy the lie that I could have one. And I'd be off to the races again. It says, we have seen the truth demonstrated again and again. Once an alcoholic or once an addict, always an alcoholic or always an addict. Underline, truth demonstrated. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Or once an addict, always an addict. There's a question I'd like you to ask yourself at the top of this page. Do I have any reservations, any lurking notions? Do I have any reservations, any lurking notions? Commencing to drink or commencing to use after a period of sobriety, we are in a short time as bad as ever. If you are planning to stop drinking or using, there must be no reservation of any kind, nor any lurking notion that someday you will be immune to alcohol or drugs. If I am planning to stop using or stay stopped from using or drinking, there's that word again, M-U-S-T, be no reservation or any lurking notion that someday I will be immune to alcohol or drugs. So even when you're not drinking or you're not using, your disease is at work. It's just plotting, planning, waiting to hook you up. Why? Let's move down in the next paragraph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines. Why? Because of peculiar mental twist already acquired. Underline that, highlight that. A peculiar mental twist already acquired. What is that peculiar mental twist? The obsession. In the margin, write the obsession next to that. Let's turn to page 34. Let me know if you're not ready before I move. This is one of my favorite parts in the book. I actually incorporated this in the readings in starting a meeting years ago. You know, meetings are autonomous. You can read whatever you want out of the big book, out of approved literature. This jumped out at me a very, 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 very long time ago. Jumped off the page at me. As we look back and highlight all this that I'm reading, as we look back, we feel we have gone on drinking or using many years beyond the point where we could quit on our own willpower. If anyone questions whether he has entered this dangerous zone, let him try leaving liquor or drugs alone for 1 year. If he is a real alcoholic or a real addict in very far advance, there is scant chance of success. In the early days of our drinking or our using, we occasionally remained sober or clean for a year or more, becoming serious drinkers or users again later. Though you may be able to stop for a considerable period, you may yet be a potential alcoholic or addict. We think few to whom this book will appeal can stay dry anything like a year. Some will be drunk the day after making their resolutions, most of them within a few weeks. So this book is meant for a certain type of individual. And that individual can't quit without God. Write that next to few weeks. Can't quit without God. Remember, we talked about loss of power, choice, and control. You're fucked. I'll just go there every once in a while, but you're fucked. And you're fucked because now you've gotten some information that even if you go back out, your using and drinking will be fucked. Because what? You know there is a solution. It says, for those who are unable to drink moderately, the question is how to stop altogether. Question, am I able to drink or use moderately? I wrote no in big capital letters. No, I am not the moderate user or moderate drinker. Well, moderate drinker, I can take it or leave it alone. But when I take it, it's only a minute before I'm shooting dope. So I'm not even the moderate drinker. Hard drinker, hard user, no. No. We are assuming, of course, that the reader desires to stop. Highlight that. Question, do I desire to stop? Well, if you do have a desire to stop and stay stopped, you know by now that a desire is not enough. There's some action that needs to happen. So here we go. Whether such a person can quit upon a non-spiritual basis depends upon the extent to which he has already lost the power, and on top of power, right choice, on the bottom, right control, to choose whether he will drink or use or not. So here we go. Whether such a person can quit upon a non-spiritual basis, non-spiritual means without God, depends upon the extent to which he has already lost the power, choice, and control as to whether he will drink or not. Question, somewhere on that page, have I lost power, choice, and control? Many of us felt that we had plenty of character. Oh boy. There was a tremendous urge to cease forever, yet we found it impossible. Here's the piece that drew my attention and has held my attention for years and still does. This is the baffling feature of alcoholism. On top of it, write drug addiction. I underlined that, and then I underlined it again in red. Baffling feature of alcoholism or drug addiction. What is it? Utter inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. Are you in the club? In the club? How many times have you had desires and wishes to leave it alone, to recreate your life, and you have not been able to pull it off? That's for those of you that have tried to stay stopped from using or drinking. So here we go, a little bit deeper. What other areas of your life have you tried to recreate or change, and you have not had the power to do that because you looked up and you got a little peeky poo that something's wrong with this way of living, but you can't stop? That's a whole nother workshop on unmanageability. Very powerful piece. Very powerful piece. My home group group that I started some 25 years ago, The Truth, The Light, and The Way. This was one of the readings that we kicked off the meeting with.